Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. Jeff Nowak here alongside Steve Geller, hanging out on Radio Row, getting ready for Super Bowl 59. A lot of folks hanging around. Got a chance to catch up with Saints kicker Blake Groupie wandering around today. Here you go.
Blake, thank you so much for the time. How you been doing? Enjoying Super Bowl week, man?
This is crazy how many people are here. I know this is only Monday. I've been told that it heats up throughout the week. But yeah, this is awesome. We've been busy all day doing stuff. It started off this morning over there. I did the coin toss for a wheelchair.
Saw that.
All-star wheelchair football league. I mean, crazy, huh? Those guys are getting after it in there. So it's been an awesome, I know this is only Monday, and like I said earlier, it's going to heat up all week. But this has been an awesome event so far.
Yeah, Blake, you know about some cold weather. What was your reaction when you saw 8 inches of snow in New Orleans last week?
I was confused what state I was in, I think. I've done a lot of these today, but I was talking about it earlier, and I said, up in South Bend, 8-10 inches of snow, you know, that's just a Wednesday in January. You know, you go scrape off your car with your ice scraper and you go to class just like anything else. But that shut it down here. I went out there with my girlfriend and we made a snowman. We made all kinds of stuff. So I bundled her up. She didn't have no winter clothes, snow clothes, obviously. And I had some of my hunting stuff. So we figured it out. I showed her, I guess, how to make a snowman and all kinds of stuff. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, for me, it's like I'm originally from New Jersey. So it gave an excuse to whip out the leather jacket, which 100%. Been in the closet forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Looking at the Saints right now, obviously the head coaching search is a big, being talked about a bunch. The favorite everyone's been talking about right now is in town for the Super Bowl, and Kellen Moore. But one of the other candidates very well in Darren Rizzi, mm-hmm. special teams coordinator, promoted to interim head coach. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us maybe about Riz that we don't know? Like kind of some stuff in the locker room that what kind of coach he really
for
is.
Sure. I guess I would say, and when it comes to the head coach search in general, they ask me if I have any intel or insight, and I'm like, guys, if you want to know what I know, check Twitter,
Yeah, right.
Darren Rizzi, AK has been pretty vocal as well. I love everything about the way Darren Rizzi handled and led the team this last 8 games, whatever it was. I feel like with everything that was going on there, and for what that point we were at in the season, all you could ask for is for somebody to come in and lead the guys and get them to believe and bring that energy back. And I think at certain points of that run, you guys were able to see that. And so, I had vouched for just as much as for Darren Rizzi to be the head coach, just of anybody else. I just finished year 2, so I'm not going to act like I'm no NFL expert.
Seniority over here.
Yeah, I'm no vet. I'm just trying to scratch and claw, to get into year 3. So, just the way that he handled things and just the way guys, react to him and the way he runs things, it just seems to be different. And I would love to for him to get a real legitimate opportunity week 1 with a healthy team and a fresh start and for him to be able to run things the way he wants to run it all year.
Having a special teams guy in charge, is there a tangible difference in terms of how he approaches the room, because mm-hmm. he has all those relationships with everyone on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, and like you said, both sides of the ball. And the cool thing about Riz is he's going to have a legitimate friendship almost type relationship, not friendship as if, friend, like true friend, but like a like he's going to have a relationship with you. It's not like a, you know, a coach parent or, you know, somebody that's just bossing you around. Like he's in the boat rowing with you type guy.
Right.
And that's the best part about him, I feel like, because he's there's no questioning if he's, you know, maybe whispering. There's no closed door. There's no whispering. Whatever he's thinking, he's going to tell you. Whatever you need to hear, he's going to tell you. Whatever stuff needs to be done and changed, he's going to let you know. I mean, it's everything that we did and the way we operated for that second half of the season was open doors, honesty, just go out there and work hard and believe in each other. And you know, the details matter. And that's just the way he coaches. That's the way he coaches special teams. No detail is too small. No, you have to be prepared. And that's, I felt very prepared, even just being a kicker. I'm not out there memorizing plays. I'm not out there doing any of that. But when it comes to just being prepared and the belief that you can go out there and do your job, I mean, I don't feel like there's anybody better to help you, you know, find that in yourself. Obviously I deal with him a lot. So he helped me through a lot and he gave me an opportunity and you know, I'd go to war for that guy.
You know, Blake, one stat that I feel like didn't get enough play this season that I ended up looking at for myself because I was curious halfway through the season, 6 kicks made from 50-plus yards. You're the first kicker in Saints history to do that. I think Will Lutz was the next closest. He made 4.
Okay.
And, you know, it seems like as I watch kickers around the NFL, it almost seems like the confidence level goes up the further they get away from the goal. Like, yep. You know, there you get out there from 50-plus outside of, you know, New York, there were a couple weird kicks that 60 plus whatever, I don't even count that, but you know, what is it about those long kicks and kickers in general,
yeah,
that it just seems like more so than ever, it's like if you get past midfield, basically you're in range.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, people say the 60 yard field goal now is like what the 50 yard field goal used to be, you know, however many years ago. So like you said, New York, we had those might have been my only 2 50-yard misses on the season.
Yeah.
And 53, I mean, I guess the degree of difficulty of the test I was given that day was pretty high, given MetLife with the wind and everything. And I couldn't stop that 53 from going left. I aimed outside the uprights. But, yeah, I mean, that routine, I guess for me personally, a little different maybe than some of those other guys. I'm hitting the ball as hard as I freaking can, whether it's a 57 first field goal of the year or it's a 29 in Carolina this year. I mean, I'm swinging. I'm letting it eat regardless. But other guys, you know, it comes to maybe your routine. Like I feel like that 50 yard plus, you know, I guess that stat that you shared earlier, I'm swinging. I'm hitting a 50 yarder regardless. And so, you know, the routine, I guess you could, some guys, you know, we might sacrifice a little bit if it's an earlier, I guess what I'm trying to get to is if it's a closer kick and the routine, some people you might skip some steps, but just thinking it's a little closer. And so it's all routine based. I find that when I have any sort of negative or miss going on, it's usually something in mentally up in that process going into the kick. It's rarely ever something, you know, technical, or, you know, it's a mental thing that leads to something technical. So it's a little different. And I know I'm talking kicker terms. You guys probably have no idea what I'm talking about, but, you know, you have to treat every kick as if it's own. You know, I'm out there swinging every time hard, you know, whether it's 50 or, you know, 30.
I have found the kicker terms and golf terms a lot of times go hand in hand.
Yeah. It helps you put the two together, I would say.
You know, I remember Green Bay. You know, Green Bay was obviously an awful day for a lot of people in terms of the game itself, but I just found your day funny because you went out there and you kicked the opening kick, and then I watched you on the sideline just warming up. Warming up. And the thing that struck me from that day in particular is you had an incredible warm-up in those temperatures, in that environment. You never got a chance to actually kick. And I guess my question is, how important, you know, when you nail a warm-up like that, how much confidence does that give you going into a game? Like, if you have a rough warm-up, does that maybe shake some things a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think Tampa Bay, I was in a groove to finish the year, and I really felt like I was in a groove all year. But, you know, that Green Bay, I will say it was funny. Like, warm-ups when we first started, those balls are cold. And, like, when we were starting that warm, my foot was bruising. I was like, this hurts, you know what I mean? Eventually everything warmed up, and I went back to 58, 59, you know, in sub-30 windy conditions in Green Bay. I mean, I feel like that's all I can ask for, is to be able to kind of pull some of that stuff off. But, you know, I didn't get to, you know, I had one kickoff that game. Nobody will ever know unless, you know, somebody talks about it. And so, you know, that warm-up is very crucial. Don't be wrong. I've had bad warm-ups. I think I only had maybe one bad warm-up this year. But what's funny is if I have a bad warm-up, almost 100% of the time, I'm having a great game. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a different level of focus going into the game. I don't know if you just miss up enough in the pregame where you figure it out. You know,
got all the negative stuff out the way.
Get it all out of the way. And so, me personally, when I have a bad warm up, you know, I just give it a complete reset, because when we go back into the locker room and then we come out before the national anthem, that's when I truly believe is kind of like the start of my warm up. And when it, like, I mean, obviously that really matters. You're 10 minutes for a kickoff or something. Right. But Carolina, I mean, I had three field goals. I had a 51 into the wind and a crosswind. I mean, that was a hard kick, and I freaking smoked that thing. But if you watched me in warm-ups, you might have wanted to bench me. And then that next day, on Monday, Mickey said, I'm not going to lie, you had me worried a little bit in warm-ups, you know. But I went out and had a 3-for-3 game and hit all my extra points, made all my kicks. And so you never know. But, yeah, that warm-up matters. But even if you do have one, you ain't got no choice. You still got to do good in the game. So that's really what matters.
When did you realize you had this leg that, you know, you don't have the a huge size, you know, you're not very tall, but you're able to generate so much power with your kick. How does that come about?
Yeah, I guess I would say leg speed.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's not many kicking metrics out there. You know, nobody really cares about it. But I would love to somehow figure out what my leg speed is compared to others. If say there's an average across the league, I would love to see what that, because obviously you have to make up somehow. And I would say my range of motion and how I'm able to operate and keep that leg speed at that range of motion, that has to be it. I weigh 150 pounds. And I've always found my own way somehow. Kicking's not a cookie cutter position anyways, but I've always found a way. And, you know, they always told me when I was, I was a freshman, they got on to me all the time about ball height, about kicking it higher.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I've pretty darn good ball height, and I'm sure that helped develop. You know, every step of the way, I've had to conquer something and figure it out, and so I feel like just, you know, this is, you know, I'm going on year three, and so I'm sure there'll be some sort of trouble or some step of the way I'll have to learn to overcome this year. But you know, every year you're going to get dealt a different deck, and you just got to figure out how to do it. And so that's kind of what you got
to
do.
Maybe if you go over to like a Top Golf and they let them convince you to kick
have
a couple of those,
strap something to my foot or something.
Maybe open it, put like a Top Golf kind of place for kickers.
Yeah
there
they
you go.
They actually have TrackMan just like for golf. They have those for kicking, but I don't think Lake, it has ball speed, and it has Apex, it has spin rate, it has good, it has all kinds of stuff, but I don't think it actually tracks leg speed, which is what I'd be interested in. So, I don't know, maybe one day.
Right.
Maybe one day we'll get lucky.
Gotcha. You know, one thing that doesn't seem like it's going away is the new kickoff. You know, we've talked a few times about it, and, you know, it was interesting to see all the different types of kicks develop over the course of the season. I'm sure they're going to tweak a few rules here and there in terms of what the returners can do. And, you know, how did you get more comfortable with that as the season went on? I think I can't remember what, I think it might have been Washington. I can't recall. Like, there was a big kick late in the game. You had been kicking a certain kick, and then you kind of broke out like a little squibber and it knocked him inside the 10. I'm just curious. You know, how did that go? Did you kind of learn a lot as the season went on?
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that was nice about having Riz this year as our coordinator is he actually was the one pushing that rule.
Right.
And so, you know, some teams said screw it and still kick touchbacks. I want to say us and Washington, actually, you said that. We were the two – we had the two lowest touchback percentage, which means obviously they returned the most. You know, our average, you know, I guess their opposing starting field position might have been the two lowest in the league. And so, you know, we have a very good kickoff team. We got Anthony Orji, JT Gray, who should have been a Pro Bowler. And
amen to that.
You know, we got some dudes down there running, trying to knock a guy's head off. And so my job is just put it right there around the goal line, if not a yard or two back, that we're trying to steal something. And, you know, put our defense on the field with the best opportunity and keep them as far away from the end zone as we possibly can. That's what we can do. But then, you know, those different kicks, they did develop as the year went on. There's certain situations where we do still want to hit touchbacks. There's certain situations where we want to go right, left, middle. I have a little ball that's kind of got a little swing to it, and every once in a while I'll get lucky and it'll knuckle something nasty. And, you know, sometimes they'll bobble it. Kansas City bobbled one. We had a couple this year that I got them good, and you know that's just a little bit of this kickoff rule opens up almost another playmaking role that, you know, that we can fall into, and so it was fun being able to learn. I actually bounced some ideas off certain guys in the league, and when we were out in San Diego before the season hitting some, I learned some from the Seattle kicker. All those different kicks are pretty fun to be able to. It was different as the season went on, and you know, I think we got away with we didn't have any that didn't make it into the landing zone or out of bounds this year. I had one that was darn close against Washington, and McCaffrey picked it up. He probably should have let it go. It was going out of bounds, but he grabbed it, so I got lucky there. I got to send him a thank you card or something. But yeah, I mean, we operated at a very high level on special teams this year, especially kickoff. And so it was really fun, and this new kickoff rule really played in, and we used it as an advantage, you know, to develop an advantage for the Saints this year.
I have to ask about the tackle. I can't remember which game it was.
I don't know which one. I actually had two.
You had
one
two.
Only one of them was a legit tackle. My first NFL stat sheet tackle was against Denver.
Okay.
And I was just the closest one when Pro Bowl Marvin Mims just happened to step out of bounds. And so I got credited for that one. First real one was against the Rams.
Okay, Rams.
They broke it. Would have been in the three hole. You know, we're talking specifics here. But anyways, I came to a point where I'm over top of the ball, and I saw their block pin and another guy pin, and next thing you know, I'm like, oh boy, this guy's coming, you know. So I told myself, always get low. As long as we cut him off from going down the sideline, that's our job. Obviously, I want to tackle a guy that's kind of fun. But so in the moment, I just remember kind of lowering down. And if you think me lowering down, that's pretty low. So as I'm lowering down, the guy actually rises up to hurdle. And as I see him do that, I rise up a little bit, catch maybe his knee on my shoulder pad, and that was, I guess, my first real tackle. So that was a fun little experience.
My favorite thing about it is I went back and watched y'all 22, and you're just like, the tackle happened, you're just like, all right, just jog up the field. It was good.
Yeah, I was always just hanging over the ball, and there was a couple of them where I probably could have dove in there, but I didn't really need to, so I stayed out of it.
And just real curious, how did you end up honorary captain for this USA wheelchair football event?
Yeah, the Saints do a lot. I had a team this week. Obviously, there's a lot of events going on in the Super Bowl all day long. I mean, I could probably bounce around every table here all day long if I wanted to. But I had a team that with my agent and with my marketing guy here. And we pretty much, I told him, I said, anything that we can do this week that either helps out is like an event, you know, a charity type deal, or anything that we can get our hands on this week, like, let's do it. And so he probably don't want to sit here and watch me do all these radio interviews or watch me do a coin toss. But it's been awesome. Why not capitalize on a great week like this? So got some interview stuff going on these next couple weeks. There's a Steve Gleason Foundation golf tournament. That's on Thursday out at City Park. So that'll be a great deal. I think it's funny. Sean Payton will be there. Lutz will be there. Hartley will be there. Morstead will be there. So it'll be a big specialist
reunion.
That'll be a cool event. We got another one on Friday morning at TPC. Great events. All kinds of stuff going on here. And it was pretty cool to kick off. It was funny. It was the first NFL like sanctioned event of the Super Bowl. And for some reason, I was out there. So it was a good time. It was a cool event.
Definitely appreciate the time, Blake. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Thanks man.